Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to Twits in Peril, a steampunk distraction by Tom Allen Robbins. We left our hero in shorts and flip-flops, preparing to infiltrate a world without privilege. Can he survive for a week without cheesy eggs? Without a girdle? Without Bentley? Join us now for Twits in Peril, Chapter 2, I Eat a Cherry.
Annie arrived, as promised, with the morning lark. He waited patiently as I downed a breakfast that would have choked the mythical horse. Bentley had helped me into my government-issued rags, and my pockets were filled with coins of low denomination and crackers of various descriptions. I had slathered on the deodorant, having learned that fresh water was in short supply among the general population, and I was ready for anything. Very well, Annie. Off we go.
It's a bit of a trek, I'm afraid.
Should I have Bentley drive us part way?
Too dangerous, sir. Gossip travels like lightning. If anyone saw you...
I quite understand. Let's be off. Ernie did not exaggerate. We walked for what felt like hours. The posts of my flip-flops rubbed against my toes until I wanted to scream. Surely we must be there.
We've only traveled a few blocks. You can still see a house from here.
How many miles is that?
None.
This is torture.
I have an idea. Wait here.
He jogged off, and I took stock of my surroundings. Even in the few blocks we had traversed, the buildings had grown shabbier, the weeds more numerous. As I stood musing, I heard the clatter of an approaching vehicle. It appeared to be a stagecoach of the Old West variety, drawn by 6 mechanical horses. A grizzled, bearded automaton sat atop it, gripping the reins. As it reached me, the coach slowed to a stop, and a familiar, pomaded head popped out of the window. C. Langford Cheeseworth was as rich as he was eccentric. He was the club gossip, and I knew that my ragged appearance would be common knowledge by lunchtime. I suspected that the general assessment upon learning of my situation would be that I had made a bigger ass of myself than usual.
Sybil! Death before dishonor! What scrofulous apparel! Are you en route to a costume party?
Hello, Cheeseworth. Death before dishonor. Yes, something like that.
I simply revel in costume balls. May I accompany you? I always keep a spare disguise with me. There's an anatomically correct dolphin in the trunk. One relieves oneself through the blowhole.
Sorry, Cheeseworth, it's not exactly a costume party. It's something new. It's called... slumming.
I am agog. What are the mechanics of this new form of entertainment?
Well, one dresses as a citizen and lives like a citizen among the citizens, you see.
Like Marie Antoinette when she dressed as a shepherdess and swanned about her little make-believe Hamlet at Versailles.
Yes, something like that.
Remarkable. Who else is going?
Oh, everyone's doing it.
Are they?
Why wasn't I tuned?
It's brand new. I'm sure you'll hear all about it at any minute.
Well, bonchance. I want to hear all about your adventures when you return.
Absolutely. We'll make a night of it. The automaton flipped his whip, and the horses galloped off with Cheeseworth rattling along behind them. Just then, Ernie rounded the corner, pushing an unsightly wheeled object.
Here we are. Hop on.
What is this?
It's my delivery cart. I'll push you.
Are you sure it will take the weight?
You're really rather scrawny, if you don't mind my saying.
You're seeing me without my padding. I assure you, I am a damned attractive figure of a man, given a soupçon of mechanical assistance.
No doubt. Just hold on to the sides, and I'll have you there in an instant.
I perched on the delivery cart like a sack of root vegetables and clung to the slats for dear life. Ernie trotted up hill and down dale, through blocks of abandoned structures and weed-filled lots.
If we meet anyone, we'll say you twisted your ankle.
Shall I groan and wince?
Not necessary. Maybe a slight wince the first time you put weight on it.
I practiced wincing for a while, then sat back and watched the scenery go by as I munched on crackers from my various pockets. I say, Ernie.
Yep.
I notice a lot of abandoned buildings. Why is your family crammed into a tiny room with all this real estate available?
It's private property. If a building becomes vacant, the government auctions it off. Once it's privately owned, no one can live there.
But what do the owners do with the empty buildings?
They tear them down and plant soybeans.
Soybeans? Is that profitable?
Government subsidies. They collect subsidies to grow soybeans, then the government pays them to store the soybeans, then pays them again to compost the soybeans to fertilize their soybean fields.
But who eats the soybeans?
A small fraction of them are turned into the kind of imitation food that rich people eat, but the rest get composted.
Then what are the nutrition bars made of?
Heaven knows. There's no list of ingredients. They seem to be mostly algae. We suspect there are barbiturates in them to keep us placid and birth control to keep the population down. We only eat them when we absolutely have to.
Monstrous!
Do you know that you manufacture them?
I don't think so.
Fruity Berry Blast Bars are made by the Smythe Corporation. That's you.
I don't pay attention to what my businesses do. That's what my financial managers are for.
Perhaps you should take an interest.
I don't know. My past forays into business have not augured well.
We're getting closer. I think you should climb down and hobble the last couple of blocks.
Shay Ernie was in an area that might have been called blighted if one wanted to be complimentary. The pavement had petered out several blocks earlier, and a trail of dust and rocks ran between a canyon of decaying buildings. The local populace, attired in the same class of rags as I, trudged here and there, lugging this and that, and looking miserable. Ernie pointed at the most disreputable of the structures.
That's home. If we get separated, meet me in the lobby.
Got it.
Before we go up, let's talk to my sister Judy about finding you a job.
Is that strictly necessary?
Everyone works. It would be suspicious if you just sat around doing nothing.
But I have no qualifications. I'm not skilled in any way.
That's no impediment. Anything that requires any skill is done by robots anyway.
Then what's left?
Well, there's carrying things. That's what a lot of people do. You pick up something at one location and carry it somewhere else. It requires a certain amount of muscle, so... maybe that's not for you.
I am susceptible to sprains.
Then there's gas leak locating. They give you a roll of tape and you stroll about sniffing at gas pipes. If you smell a leak, you wrap some tape around it.
It sounds dangerous.
Only if you have an open flame about you.
Anything else?
My sister's a waiter.
Oh, in a restaurant?
No, that's another job for robots. She waits in lines.
She just waits?
Yes. There's lots of important things one has to line up for, but you can't take time off from work to do it, so people like Judy wait in line for you. It doesn't pay much, but it's steady.
That sounds as if it is within my abilities. Years of standing at soirees have given me the endurance of Atlas.
Good. I think she's at the insurance adjuster's office today. Now remember, your name is Johnny.
Got it. Before we set off, I paused at the entrance to the building and looked around carefully. Across the street, in one of the windows, I spotted what could have been a reflection from a pair of binoculars. Cubby. I turned nonchalantly and strolled after Ernie.
Now listen, Judy's a good egg, but she's nobody's fool. You'll have to look sharp. No slip-ups.
I am completely in character. Watch this. Well, I have to work on my distance, but I thought the attitude was spot on.
Here, wipe yourself with these leaves. There she is. Oi, Judy!
Ernie! Why aren't you at work?
I finished my deliveries early. This is Johnny.
Hello.
Hiya, Johnny. Well, you're not from around here.
How could you tell?
You've got all your fingernails.
I'm deuced glad to meet you.
Well, that's a funny way of talking.
Yes, he's from Wales.
Yes, excellent.
Is that how they talk in Wales?
When we speak at all, we Welsh are a taciturn race.
He came here to get a job waiting.
Don't they have waiters in Wales?
It's the nepotism. Waiting jobs pass from one generation to the next. Couldn't get a foothold. Greener pastures and all that.
Suit yourself.
Do you think you could get him started?
Sure. I'll talk to my supervisor after work. How's your bladder?
My what?
Well, no bathroom breaks. You step out of line, you lose your place.
Ah. As to that, I am known for the infrequency of my urinations.
You talk pretty fancy for a waiter.
He reads a lot.
Does he? What are you reading now?
You're working your way through War and Peace, aren't you, Johnny?
Yes. I'm still slogging through the war bits, but you can just get a hint of approaching peace in the syntax.
I guess you are a reader.
I'm going to drag him back to meet Mum. Are you coming home for dinner?
I think so. The line's moving a little faster since some of the older waiters fainted from the heat.
Lionel's down.
We'll see you there then.
Pleased to meet you, Johnny. I'll let you know what my supervisor says.
Thanks awfully.
It's 5 flights to the apartment. Can you make it?
5 flights of stairs?
I don't think I can carry you. We can stop whenever you need to rest.
I did rather well, if I do say so, stopping every half flight to sit and munch a few crackers. By late afternoon, we were standing outside an apartment door that had been lovingly painted a vibrant shade of blue.
This is it.
He opened the door, and we stepped into a tiny jewel box of an apartment. Every surface had been painted with swirls and loops of color. Bits of shiny metal and glass were embedded here and there for emphasis. My word. This is lovely.
That's Judy's work. She's artistic. Hello, Mum.
A middle-aged matron with a grey bun on top of her head was standing over a sink, doing something to a pile of greenery.
Hello, love. Who's this?
Mum, this is Johnny. He's an old school chum. He's come to stay for the week.
How do, Johnny? Excuse me not shaking hands. I'm up to me elbows in dandelion greens.
Pleased to meet you.
Will you be staying for supper?
Thanks, awfully. I'd love to.
Of course. Share and share alike. All is for all. To each according to his need.
Mum's a socialist.
And what are you?
Not in front of the guest, Mum.
Does he not feel the lash of poverty? Come the revolution, no doubt. He'll march like the rest of us.
I would be honoured. When is it?
He'll be here before you know it. And the streets will run with blood. Wipe your feet.
Sorry, Mum.
Don't pay any attention to me, Johnny. I've got a bark that's worse than me bite.
You should meet my Aunt Hypatia. You two have a lot in common.
Let me show you around.
Though it was tiny, the apartment was dense. Ingenious cupboards and drawers were everywhere.
This is my little corner. The bed folds down from the wall.
Every surface was covered with drawings of machines of one kind or another, interspersed with what I had been told in my youth were numbers. What's all this?
Oh, I like to invent things in my spare time. It's just a hobby.
Damn fine drawings. What's this one?
Ah, that's something I call a bulb of light.
What's it do?
It replaces gas lights.
How does it work?
It doesn't. Yet. You see, most of my inventions are based on a force that doesn't exist except in nature. You can see it in lightning storms. Lightning contains incredible power. I was outside during a storm once and a bolt of lightning hit close by. I felt as if I was in a glass of fizzy water. The hairs on my head stood straight up. A tree nearby exploded from the power of it. I realized that there's a natural force that, if it could be harnessed, could usher in a new age of technology. I call it fizzy energy.
My word! That is exciting!
I just have to find a way to control it or produce it.
And it would light up your bulb of light?
Well, not just that. It could power motors with more power and less expense than steam.
Well, I certainly wish you luck.
Thanks. I'm closing in on the theory. That's what all these equations are.
It seems you're wasted delivering groceries.
Oh, I could never give up my delivery job. There aren't many professions available to us with the kind of future you get in the delivery game.
As I gazed around the room, I was suddenly struck with a terrifying apprehension. I say, Ernie.
Yep?
You all sleep here? In one room?
That's pretty common.
But then, where do I sleep?
You'll bunk with me. You get half a mattress all to yourself.
Now, I like to think of myself as resilient. I have a guest room, and once or twice there have even been guests in it. I have never complained. Sharing a bedroom, however, much less a mattress, was beyond the pale. I halted toward the apartment door on shaking legs. A dark spot appeared in the center of my vision.
Where are you going?
I'm done. I wave the white flag. All is lost.
Don't give up. It's not as bad as it seems.
Why is there no air in here? My lungs don't seem to be functioning. As I approached the door, it opened from the other side and Judy breezed in.
Hello, all. Johnny, congratulations. You start in the morning. Be at the tax office at 7 a.m. Say, are you all right?
Yeah, he's just having a little panic attack.
Here, sit down.
She guided me to a chair and I collapsed into it.
What brought this on?
Home sickness. Mrs. Wales wants to go home.
Aw, you poor fish. Say, maybe you're just hungry. Here, Mum, hand me that bowl of cherries. Here you go.
She waited until my mouth opened to exhale and shoved something round into it. I bit down and an elixir filled my mouth that absolutely paralyzed me. What? What in the name of all that is holy is that?
Well, it's a cherry, silly.
Cherry?
They grow on trees. Don't you have them in Wales?
Of course they do. He's just having a laugh.
That's enough. You two set up the table. Food's ready.
Sure thing, Mum.
Will there be more cherries?
Oh, that's dessert. First, we'll have a bit of salad, then pasta with marinara and fresh baked bread.
Are you feeling better?
Yes, I am. I really am. I think I could eat something.
Just stay there. We'll set up the table around you.
They produced a folding table and chairs, and the table was set in a trice. Judy put a large bowl filled with greens before us.
Here's dandelion greens, lamb's quarters, with wild onions in a vinaigrette. Dig in, everyone.
What followed was the greatest meal of my life. Leaves. Leaves that grew in the ground. Who suspected they could be eaten in this unprocessed form? And the tomato sauce. Not at all like the dipping sauce that came with my pizza rolls. Complex, with sweetness and acidity in just the right proportions. I ate until I could hold no more.
I'd say Johnny likes Mum's cooking all right.
He's a man who knows what's good.
Do you eat like this every night?
On the weekday, we don't try too hard. Turnip casserole, vichyssoise. We get a little more creative on the weekends.
Look here, Ernie, I've got to speak to you. Is there somewhere we can go?
Let's take a stroll.
What, down the stairs?
Sure.
And then back up the stairs?
Don't they have stairs in Wales?
Mostly low rises, on account of the earthquakes.
I never heard of earthquakes in Wales.
We hush it up. Silly Welsh pride.
Come on, Johnny, let's walk.
I had waited until we had reached the street and found a quiet patch of dirt where we wouldn't be overheard. All right, my lad. What the blazes was that?
What?
That meal? Where did that come from?
That's the way we always eat.
Then why have I been swilling down impossible mutton and pizza rolls since childhood? Why have I been deprived of this ambrosia?
Because there's no profit in the kind of food we eat. It just grows in the ground. The money's in the processing.
And I could have been eating like this my whole life?
Sure.
At that moment, I was filled with a cold fury. A hatred of those who had stuffed me with improbable bacon and chickeny nuggets for their own selfish profits. Who are these monsters? These profiteers?
I'm afraid it's Smythe Coe again.
What? I've been doing it to myself?
Afraid so.
Ernie, I am a changed man. I have found my purpose in life. It is to eat like this every day until I die.
Well, it's good to have a goal.
Where do these fruits and vegetables come from?
Everybody's got a garden or two. Vacant lots, odd bits of land that haven't got soybeans on them. Pots on the roof, vegetables grow anywhere there's dirt.
And it's all free?
There's some things we can't grow ourselves. Flour, oil, salt. We trade for those if we can. There's volunteer collectives that have built mills and oil presses. It's kind of underground.
Amazing. In some ways, you live better than I do.
Money isn't everything.
I said that just the other day at the club.
See? You're practically one of us.
Do you think so?
If you had fewer teeth and a little sun damage, you'd fit right in. Ready for some cherries?
You bet I am. Bring on those stairs. As we trudged back toward Ernie's flat, I suddenly felt dizzy. I say, Ernie.
Yes, Johnny.
I'm afraid I'm not well. I'm beginning to hallucinate.
What do you think you see?
I have the oddest feeling that those citizens in rags waving at us from the corner are my aunt and uncle, and that the shiny-headed pauper rooting through that garbage can is C. Langford Cheeseworth.
Yoo-hoo! Johnny!
Alas, it was no hallucination. My Aunt Hypatia, dressed like a theatrical version of a charwoman, was waving at me like a character from a Punch and Judy show. My Uncle Hugo stood glowering beside her in a sort of sack that must have held potatoes at some point in its existence, and from the shadow of a doorway, his head bowed with shame, stepped the Judas that I knew at once must be responsible for this catastrophe. My chinless cousin, Binky.
Hello, Cyril. I mean Johnny. I can explain all this.
My spirit, which had been buoyed up by dinner, poured itself a large vodka and began reading Russian literature. If this was not the end of my story, it was certainly the end of a chapter.
And things were going so well. Can our hero survive the arrival of Aunt Hypatia, Uncle Hugo, Binky, and Cheeseworth? And are there enough cherries to go around? Join us next time for Twits in Peril, Chapter 3. Wales is a mysterious place. And now, let us bow down before the brilliance of our cast, without whom we would be as dust, blown hither and yon by the winds of fortune. Michael Urie as Cyril Chippington Smythe. Kristen Borrell as Cheswick Wickford Davies, Binky to his friends. Dakin Matthews as Bentley. Mary Tester as Aunt Hypatia. Nick Sullivan as Uncle Hugo. Stephen DeRosa as C. Langford Cheeseworth. Lily Cooper as Judy. Fergie L. Philippe as Ernie, Rachel York as Mum, Wesley Taylor as Cubby Martinez, Teddy Udane as Sven, the bartender, Anne Harada as Mrs. Cedar, James Rana as Lincoln, Nick Walker as Ford, Katie Blake as Martha, Stephen Berger as Sid, Noah Leveray as Penelope, Jacob Smith as an advertisement, Jacob Smith as Man One, Lilius White as Woman One, and yours truly, Lilius White, as a disembodied, omnipotent voice. Written by Tom Allen Robbins. Co-directed by Tom Allen Robbins and Dory Berenstein. Produced by Dory Berenstein, Alan Seals, Brittany Bigelow, and the Broadway Podcast Network. Sound effects consultant, Eric Wright. Sound designer and editor, Brett Ashley. Executive produced by Liz Armstrong. Good day.
Have you ever wondered how your favorite performer actually feels? Well, here's your chance. Welcome to The Quiet Part Out Loud with me, Bobby Steggert, Broadway actor, and now a therapist to a whole host of Broadway creatives. Part interview, part therapy, this is not your typical podcast. We'll go right to the heart of things with some of your favorite artists, what they still struggle with, what lessons they've learned, what they haven't figured out yet. There's enormous power in saying the quiet part out loud. Are you listening?
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.